after.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limon.
Ready for the word? If you're joining us for the first time, man, we're so blessed that y'all would come today. And if somebody brought you today, it's because they really care about you. So if someone dragged you here, hey, it was out of love. Amen. I'd still make sure you get a lunch out of it after or something like that. Amen. But we've been in a series right now called Supernatural. It's more than a series as much as it is just taking some time to remind ourselves who we are and where we come from. To remind you of your roots in spirituality as a born-again Christian. See, when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what you were raised, it doesn't matter what church you came from, it doesn't matter what religion you were, but when you decide and say, Jesus Christ, come into my life and be the Lord of my life, and you receive that, what the Bible calls a born-again experience, the Bible says you're engrafted, you're adopted into the family of God. And now that you are a part of the family of God, you gotta learn who you are because you have a new identity. I know the family you were born into had a bunch of issues. Come on, somebody. Come on, they had a bunch of stuff. They were known for being something. Amen? Everybody's family was known for being something. Maybe your family was known for running the streets. Come on. Look straight ahead. Nobody will know I'm talking to you, you know? Maybe your family was known for dealing drugs or doing dirt or being mean or fighting or whatever it is. That's cool. That's whatever. That don't matter now. The family that you're in now, you got to understand, has an identity. You've been adopted into an incredible family called the family of God. And there's a way we do things. There's a way we think. There's a way we operate. There's the law of love that has been written on our hearts that we're to follow, we're to pursue. But, you know, there's something further than that. There's a lineage of faith and supernatural power that you got to know is your people now. If you're a son of God, if you're a daughter of God, you got to know who your people are. And your people are people of faith, and your people are supernaturally empowered people. And I got to get Christians in America again to line up with their lineage, because we've taken on a false type of dichotomy of Christianity that is comfortable. That is, if I don't understand it, then I can just create a doctrine and push it away. And that's a lot of what's happened in America today. So we go to churches where there's no healings. We go to churches where nobody is getting delivered. We go to churches where nobody is being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we already told you a couple weeks ago, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the book of Hebrews. If he did it then, he's doing it today. If he's doing it today, he'll do it tomorrow. So why do we declare healing over Eddie's life? Because Jesus healed people when he walked the earth. So he still heals people today. He also baptized people in the Holy Spirit back then. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Do you know what today means? Today's the birthday of the church. On this day, listen, a new race of people hit the earth. A new race. And the whole world was there to witness it. Let's look at the reading right now as we jump into this right now. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 16. They're going to put it on the screen there. But if you have your Bible, I would encourage you to highlight it, circle it on your phone, whatever it is there. Because this is a scripture that talks about your lineage, okay? How many have ever, you know, done those studies where they find out, you know, what are they called, where they find your lineage and stuff? They find out what is it? Ancestry.com, Ancestry.com, right? We love to find out, ooh, where do I come from, you know, and all this kind of things. If you're racist, you need to do that. You want to know why? Because you'll find out you got all these races up in you. And you know what you'll find out? We're all from Africa. That's going to hurt somebody's feelings right there. But the powerful thing about that and why people like to do that, because we learn about where we come from. What I'm about to read to you is your spiritual lineage. This is who you are. This was the day when a new race of creature came into the earth. Amen. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come. Pentecost, that's today. Pentecost means 50. 50 days after the Passover, or 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. Look what it says. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. Let me stop right there, because what's happening right here is similar, because I started reading that and I seen all the dramatics. Like, what? Fire? Wind? Sound? What is all this? And it made me, kind of reminded me of, you ever seen a video of when a meteorite is coming to the earth? And the minute it passes the atmosphere, it begins to fire and it leaves a trail of smoke. And when it comes into the earth, it hits and there's an explosion. It's kind of like what happened as the Holy Spirit pierced the heavenlies and came into the upper room. And there was fire, there was smoke, because all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit was manifesting. And what did he do? He went over every believer that was in the place, and he began to release, like we said in the last couple weeks, the most precious gift he could give. God the Father's most precious gift to the world was Jesus. Jesus's most precious gift to his bride, the church, was the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, his most precious gift to his church is the gift of praying in tongues. Let's keep reading. And it says this, and there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem, listen to this part, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Trip out on that. So we had some Filipinos up in there. They was up in there with their balut because it was morning, you know. They had some Mexicans up in there. Hey! Every nation under the earth was there. Now, it probably didn't look like that, because those two nations that I just mentioned to you were mixtures people, indigenous people, and then Spain and stuff. So we have other nations now that at the time were different. But the ancestors of where we come from was there. How many know the Bible doesn't lie? And so where there was this feast, there was a representative of every nation, check this out, to witness the birth of a new nation. And that new nation is the church. And it had everybody there. That's why the church you go to shouldn't be just one color. We don't ever want this just to be one thing, because Sacramento's not one thing. Heaven's not one thing. So if you're Caucasian, we welcome you. If you're African American, we welcome you. If you're Mexican, we welcome you. If you're Filipino, we welcome you. If you're Hmong, we welcome you. If you're Samoan, I could keep going all day, y'all. And you're in the right place. You're in the right place. Because this church thing is not a physical race. It's a spiritual race. So let's keep going. So, and there were dwelling devout men and other from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, it was an explosion. The multitude came together and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Now trip out on this. When they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? This is what's wild. It doesn't say that the disciples spoke in other languages. It says that the people heard it in their language. They spoke in tongues, and people heard it in their native language. You don't ever know what other people are hearing when you're praying in tongues. I've been in other nations where I was just worshiping in the spirit and somebody said, hey, I didn't know you knew that language. And I said, what language? They said, you just said this, this, and this. It happens. And it happened on this time. Let's keep reading. Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Midians, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, and Phygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues. The wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? See, they were curious. They weren't afraid. Do you know the natural response to the Holy Spirit is not fear? It's curiosity. Now, people who get fearful, it's because they probably received a teaching that scared them. Oh, watch out for those tongue talkers. Watch out for that thing. That's weird. And when you let that get into you, then it'll produce fear. But the natural response when man comes in contact with a supernatural prayer language, it's not run, let's get out of here. It's curiosity. And this is why Satan doesn't want a church praying in tongues. Because he knows when unbelievers get around us, they're not going to be scared. They're going to be curious. And he don't want them curious. Because when they get curious, they find God. Oh, come on, somebody. But there's a deception in America today. We've treated the Holy Spirit like, oh, we got to be careful. We don't want to freak everybody out and da-da-da-da-da and all this kind of stuff. And we treat him like that crazy uncle. You know that crazy uncle, right? The uncle that's only allowed to come out on Christmas. He can only come over on Easter. That's the only time. But if your Theo shows up on a Wednesday, you don't even open the door. How many got an uncle like that, right? You know that. You know what I'm talking about. Or a friend or whatever. It's like you love him. You'll tolerate him on special days. We treat the Holy Spirit like that. We let him come out. If we're going to have a revival or a guest speaker, then you can come. But man, Holy Spirit don't want to be treated like that, and nor should he be. Because Jesus literally left the earth to give him to you. Let's keep going. Let's keep reading. It's Pentecost Sunday. So they were all amazed and perplexed. And they said to each other, what could this mean? Others mocking said, these guys are full of new wine. Translation, yo, these fools are drunk, eh? That's what he said. But Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and he said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Heed my words. These are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day, which is about 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. This is that. This is that. Now you could get with this, or you could get with that. But this is that. Day of Pentecost. That's what happened. These are your spiritual roots. These are your people. This is where you come from. This is also what's inside of you. Now, in the time that I have remaining right now, we're going to spend some time talking about reasons why you need to have a prayer language. Because Satan has tried to keep some of you from it. Some of you receive it, but you never use it. Some of you have the ability. God's given you that ability. You received it a long, long time ago. And the only time you pray in other tongues is when you get a Holy Ghost goosebump. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. The old saints called it catching the Holy Ghost. And if the music was just right, if the Hammond B3 was just right, we don't have one of those here. I wish we did sometimes. And it was just me. And the preacher was just right. And the people were out of frenzy. Then the old Pentecostals would get caught up in a feeling and then pray in tongues uncontrollably. Some of us remember churches like that. Amen. And that's the only time they would do it. But when you only reserve it for that, it's the equivalent of having an iPhone and only using it to make phone calls. Man, that iPhone could do so much, right? You could order lunch right now. It'll be ready by the time you get home. You could shop. Come on, you ain't got to leave nowhere. Just go. You could buy some the latest Jordans from your phone. You could get a man from your phone. Somebody's saying, preach on, Pastor. You're speaking. Amen. How do I do that, Pastor? It's true. There's so much you could do from an iPhone, but you're only using it to make phone calls. It's the same thing with the gift of the Holy Spirit and being baptized and having a prayer language. Some of you only take it out when the feeling is just right or when you're in deep, deep trouble. It's like you're about to go under for the 10th time, and now it's like, oh, she got it, blah, 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 tears in your eyes, and now you pull it out. But it's for so much more than that. You guys ready to learn about this a little bit? And I'm going to let you go, all right? I'm going to let you go. Number one, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and this is just a quick review. Number one, the first reason we need to pray in tongues is because we need to obey the scriptures. I know you don't like it. I know you're uncomfortable with it. I know you have questions. None of those things are bad. We invite questions. If anything I ever preach to you and you have questions, please, my office is open. Hit me up on Facebook. Hit me up on Instagram. Hey, let's chop it up. Let's help. Let's talk. Questions are never bad. Because questions are showing that you want to seek more truth. But it's when we just like, oh, I don't know about that stuff. I don't want that. Now you have a decision to make. Obedience to the scriptures is the first reason we should look and seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How bad do you want this? See, that's what we got to stop doing, right? We got to stop learning the hard way. Or we got to stop learning the dumb way. Smile at me, church. You know what the dumb way is, right? The dumb way is learning through experience. I'm going to tell you the stove is hot. Don't touch it. Amen. You can learn from that. Thank you for telling me that. I won't touch it. But we all had that one son or daughter. One as smart as the other ones. Come on, you probably were the one too. Mama said, don't touch it. She walked away. And you had to learn the dumb way. And you touch the stove and Mama comes in and see, I told you, don't touch it. Some of us still learn that way. So I got to call it the dumb way so that you come up out of that. Because see, understand this. The things that God is telling you in scripture, you got to know two things about God, and it'll make it so much easier to obey him. The God that we serve, number one, is a good God. Oh, he's a good God. I like what the old saints used to say. He's better to me than I could be to myself. He's that good. If I'm good with 100, God says, I want to give you 1,000. That's how good God is. God is so good, he paid the penalty for us. You must know that the God you serve, the God of the Bible, is a good God. The second thing you must know about God is that he's a wise God, which means this, he's smarter than you. So when you have a decision, am I going to listen to the scriptures or am I going to do what I want to do? You got to ask yourself, well, God's smarter than me. He's good. He's a good God. So anything he tells me is going to be for my benefit. That's how you really need to read the scriptures. Because let's be honest, y'all, some of us go to church for years and we still have not decided God's smarter. That's why you keep living like, yeah, I know the Bible says that, but he looked good. I know the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that I should not be with an unbeliever. But dang, he's got a nice car. But he got a job, Pastor. He works. He's got a nice car and he's fine. So I'm going to choose this. And what you've just done is you've negated the fact that the scriptures and the God that wrote the scriptures is smarter than you. And you've made a choice to go with your thinking rather than his. And so guess what's going to happen? You're going to have to learn the dumb way. I learned a lot of things the dumb way. Some of y'all did too. Don't look at me like that. My mom and dad raised me with truth and the word. I got my teenage years. I had to learn the dumb way. And many of you know my testimony. 19 years old, I came to the end of myself. Much like the prodigal son, I was in the pen. I was like, man, I was living a life and I was sitting there looking in the mirror one day. And I said, this is not what my parents raised me to be like. And I repented to the Lord. I went to church that next day. Boom, went to church, came to the altar. And I said, God, I've been living my way and I'm done. I wish some of you would be done with that. I really do. How long are you going to stay in a circle of disobedience? Disobedience. Well, Pastor, you know, I just think, how long are we going to do this before you just really understand the wisdom that's in this book? How long are we going to compromise? How long, single people, are you going to follow the culture that talks about hookup culture? How long are you going to do what the world is saying? How long are you going to follow your favorite rapper and try to have as many women as he does and see the headache that leaves you with? I mean, see, we want to learn the dumb way rather than the smart way. Tell your neighbor, you know he's talking to you. You know he's talking to you. So listen. So this is my point, all right? This is my point about praying in other tongues. This is my point about praying in other tongues. The first reason is this. Man, God, if you want me to have it, then I want to have it. I don't understand it, so I'm going to get understanding. I'm not just going to go, nope, not going to do it, Pastor. I don't care how many scriptures you throw at me. I don't care what you show me. I ain't doing it. Well, see, now you got a problem because now, again, you're choosing your wisdom over God's. So the first reason is stepping out and saying, God, I'm going to do it your way. Amen? Reason number two, we talked about this. The second reason you should receive your prayer language is because praying in your heavenly language is a vital part. Put that up on the screen, guys, the second one. A vital part of your walk with God. It's vital. It's not a sidebar. It's not, oh, well, you know, maybe I'll get to that level someday. No, you've been lied to. You've been deceived. Because remember, what did Jesus say in the scriptures? He spent 3 years with the disciples. And then he tells them, yo, don't do nothing until you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't do anything, guys. Y'all are just going to mess it all up. Y'all going to be teaching craziness. Don't do nothing. Just go to Jerusalem and wait there for the promise of the Father. But what do in America? We do everything without the Holy Spirit. Could it be that's why we've messed stuff up? Could it be that's why we have churches with zero power? Could it be that's why we have men of God that have robbed the people of God? And they're driving Bentleys off of tithe money and, you know, doing crazy stuff, and there's scandals all over. And could it be because, man, we're trying to do all this stuff without God, the Holy Spirit? Could it be why people can go to church for 20 years and never change? Never change. Still as mean as they were when they came the first day. They haven't become a better wife, a better husband, a better father. Kids still hate you and you go to church. Your sons and daughters still don't even like being around you. Oh, but you go to church. Oh, okay. No, it's not supposed to be like that. You call yourself a Christian, but if somebody comes by and pays you a compliment and takes you for a nice dinner, you still might sleep with them. And you've been in church. Don't make any sense, my sister. Amen, my crowd here. It doesn't make sense, but you and I both know that's the reality of Christianity in America. That's the reality of it. And I submit to you, the reason I've been spending 4 weeks on this topic is because, yeah, I know you know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I know you know a little bit about praying in tongues, but you're like the gentleman that only uses his iPhone to make a call. There's so much more. You got to pray in the Spirit every day because it's a vital part of your walk. I'll say it like this, and I can only speak for my life. Had I not got filled with the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't have made it to this point. I wouldn't have made it. Temptation would have been too strong. Come on, temptation to go another way would have pulled me aside. Come on, my old life, I would have never been able to defeat my flesh and change my habits. But God gave me the Holy Spirit. And I was like a lot of you. I didn't understand it. I went to church. Hey, and I was 19. So what's 19? A 19-year-old's mind is, I want to be cool. I want to at least look cool. Some of y'all 19-year-olds in here, I'm blowing your wig back right now. You know, that's all you think about. So anything that's going to make me not look cool, I don't want it. But then I read his word, and I heard a guy come to church, and he preached on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I knew if I go up there, I may not look cool, but I had to make a decision. Do I want to look cool or do I want to be cool? So I went up there. Dude laid his hand all crazy, like we preachers do sometimes. Awesome. This was a big church too. It was like 3,000 people there, and I'm up front. Nice looking girls looking at me, laughing at me probably, I don't know. And that's all going through my head. But I had to make a decision. I'm so glad I did. What's holding you back? You know, a problem that we have many times is we think we got this. You don't got this. Come on, if we pulled back the covers, you know there's issues that you still got that you got to get rid of. So it's a vital part of our walk. Why do I say that? It's because the early apostles thought it so necessary. Read the book of Acts. Everywhere they went, they gave the gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:39 says this. Put that scripture on the screen. It says, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy. Listen to this next part. And do not forbid. Put that on the screen, guys. And do not forbid to speak with tongues. Do you see that? Don't forbid it. So what's he basically saying? If I'm not forbidding it, I'm encouraging it. Apostle Paul's telling us that. Desire earnestly to prophesy. Now that word prophesy speaks of, you know, the prophetic gift, but it also means to preach. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to preach, but don't you dare stop people from praying in tongues. Encourage it. Why? Because it's vital. Everywhere the apostles went, they said, have you received Jesus? They said, yes. Have you received the Holy Spirit? And there was one group that said, man, we didn't even know there was a gift called the Holy Spirit. He said, come over here. And the Bible says they laid hands on them all and they received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in other tongues. It's vital. This could be why your walk is so jacked up. This could be why. Track with me now. Number three, third reason we need to pray in tongues. I ain't keeping you here all day. Y'all are hungry. She said, yes, Lord. Amen. She said, ooh, the prophetic is working on my pastor right now. He is picking up my hunger pains. Number three, it strengthens your life. Third reason you need to pray in your heavenly language. It strengthens your life. This is a big one. And I used to preach this different for many years. Let's look what it says in 1 Corinthians 14, 2 through 4. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but he speaks to God. Yes. Who wouldn't want to speak to God? Well, I speak to him in my own language. Oh, you smarter than his word. Okay, that's right. You're going to learn the dumb way. Okay, let's keep going. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. And then he goes into the prophetic again. He says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation. And you can comfort men when you prophesy or when you preach. But look what it says here. For he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies or preaches edifies the church. He says, they're both good, but you better edify yourself. Now, I used to preach this, that when I pray in other tongues, I build up my spirit man. But that's not what this scripture says, y'all. It says, I edify myself, which means the whole man. Not only is my spirit man benefiting from this, but everything that I am, spirit, soul, body, flesh, mind, emotions, is edified. Now let's look at that word edify. That word edify comes from the word edifice, which means building, to be built up. We sometimes call a building an edifice. So if you need to be built up, the scriptures say this here, you need to pray in tongues because it builds you up. Not just your spirit, your flesh, your emotions. Now, you need to hear this today because some of you, we run to everything but God to get help. Well, you know, you know you got anxiety, you got worry, you're driving everybody in your house crazy because you got anxiety. And everybody in the house is praying for you to get delivered because you're driving them crazy. And we'll go and we'll make an appointment with the therapist. I'm all for therapy. Get your therapy on. Tell your neighbor, get some therapy. Tell him. Get some therapy. I'm not against it. That was a word for somebody sitting next to you right there. Ooh, felt that. But here's the thing. Therapy's gonna run you $75 to $100 an hour. It just is. If you need it, pay it, go get it. Do it. Some of y'all said, no, I'm good now. I'm straight. I got this. Preach on, Pastor. How do I avoid that bill? Now I got your attention. Now listen, I'm not saying this is going to alleviate therapy. You may need both. But it could be that your mental state is so weak that it needs to be built up. that a little Shondo in the morning and a little Sheikah High in the night, come on, somebody, amen, might be exactly what you need. Can we just read the Bible and listen to it? He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Pastor, I got anxiety. Man, just, you know what I would do? I would take 10 minutes every morning and just pray in tongues. Turn the radio off on the way to work, put some worship on, and the entire drive to work. Oh, Pastor, aren't people around me going to think I'm weird? They think you're weird anyway. They think you're weird anyway. It's better than singing Mac Dre lyrics. Hey, come on. Some of you do that on the way to work. Think about it. Think about it. If praying in tongues edifies me, builds me up, it builds up my soul, which could be my why I got emotional problems. Could be trauma. Now, again, I'm not against therapy, counsel. You do what you got to do. But could it be that God has given us this gift to build us up, to make our minds, our emotions stronger? How long you want to live in trauma, controlling your life? How long? How long you want to just, you know, let trauma give you nightmares and all those things? Now listen, I don't want to belittle any of those other things. I'm not saying you won't need therapy too. But what I am saying is, when are you going to let God have a shot at that? When are you going to just trust his word? Remember, we're going to learn the wise way or the dumb way. Y'all like that? Y'all like it? You can tell your kids that too, because it applies. Let's keep going. So that's the second thing. It's a vital part. It strengthens our life. Now, think about that. If it strengthens who you are, it strengthens your flesh, it strengthens your soul, it strengthens your spirit. Why do we need a strong self? Well, we need strength to live the Christian life. It's crazy. Like, some of you know Jesus, you've been saved, but you still cannot order your life to win the battle of coming to church on Sundays. It's amazing to me. I won that battle a long time ago. It's not even a discussion. Like, some of y'all, it's like, it's Sunday. Am I going today or not? Win that battle. But you know why you can't win that battle? Because you're weak. You're weak. You need strength. What gives me strength? Praying in the Spirit. So there's still battles you should have won a long time ago. You should have won the battle of tithing a long time ago. You still like, I got to give God a dime off of every dollar? You're weak. You're weak. I won that my first month being saved. I saw that in the Word. And I said, ouch. Ooh. I start doing the math. That means, man, I make this much. That means 10%. Ooh, that means I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss that. But you know what I did? I learned the smart way. God, if your word says it, I'll do it. Some of y'all fight that battle every time you get paid. You hear the Holy Spirit say, you be like, hey, it's payday. And you hear the Holy Spirit say, you better give that tithe. And you, I don't know. I got bills. Ooh, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tight month. I don't know if I could do it. See, you can't win that battle because you're weak. Stuff some of you should have did a long time ago. You want to know why? It's because you're not strong. Let's build you up. Let's get you so you can win these little battles. Been saved 5 years and still ain't won that battle over your money. Still controlled by money. Still making it an issue. I love the word that Willard gave today. Abram is blessed by the high priest Melchizedek. Melchizedek is actually an Old Testament appearance of Jesus himself. And he blesses Abram just like he blesses you. And Abram's natural response is, man, you've been so good to me. Here's a tithe of everything I own. It is natural. Win that battle. But you can't do it weak. So you need the prayer of the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, according to 1 Corinthians. What else do you need a strong being to? What else do you need a strong mind, will, and emotions, a strong spirit, a strong flesh to overcome temptation? It's another reason. Like, you good right now. Like, some of you single people, you all about God. You are, yeah, God, whatever, damn. But guess what? You one pretty face away from being back in the world because you weak. And she's coming too. This is a word for somebody right now. Some of you single people, oh yeah, I love the Lord. Yes, praise God. But all a pretty face has to do is she'll pull you right out of God. Hey, who? Oh, I got a girlfriend. Oh yeah, she go to church. Well, she's a Christian. Where she go to church? Oh, she goes to church sometimes. Oh, okay, she wanted him. Tell your neighbor she wanted him. And I see it time and time again. A guy gets taken out by a woman that ain't serving God because he got no strength to overcome temptation. Let's not pick on the guys. Girls do it too. Girls do it too. Ooh, Pastor, he fine though. Pastor, he got a job. Pastor, yeah, he working. He working. My last boyfriend wasn't even working, Pastor. We start building this case. You know, you gonna learn the smart way? 2 Corinthians chapter 6? Or are you gonna learn the dumb way? In the words of Kevin Hart, you gonna learn today. And we'll be here for you. We'll be here for you. Some of you have known we've been there for you because you left church for a while after a relationship that wasn't godly. And you want to know why? There was no strength in you. You're going to have to say no to some good-looking stuff. Not just people, jobs, money. Come on, opportunities. Anything that takes you away from God, hey, I don't want it. But you need strength for that. And you get that by praying in your heavenly language. Amen? Let's go to reason number 4. I'm going to let you go. Reason number 4 that you should be praying in your heavenly language is this. It helps you crucify your flesh. Guys, there's a battle in the spirit. Look at Jude chapter 1, 17 through 21. It says, but you, beloved, remember the words that were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. Y'all know the mockers, right? The mockers are the ones laughing at you because you in church today. The mockers are the ones that called you last night. Hey, come over. We it's lit. We got a party going. It's lit. And you're like, nah, man, I got church in the morning. You going to church? They mocking you. That's what he's talking about here. We all know him. And how they told you there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their ungodly lusts. These are sensual people who cause division. They don't have the spirit. But you, beloved, but you, Elevate Life Church, come on. But you build yourselves up on your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit, that's praying in other tongues. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Ooh. Look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and to eternal life. Praying in other tongues crucifies those sensual ways. It does. Now, let me just say this. It ain't the cure-all, end-all, but it's a part. It's a part. Let me read to you Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 9. Mark these in your Bible. Study these on your own. It's important that you get familiar with these scriptures. Come on, tell your neighbor, get familiar. For those who live according to the flesh, it says, set their minds on the things of the flesh. What does it mean to set your mind on the things of the flesh? It means this, all you care about is things you can eat, touch, smell, sense. That's all you value. Like, you know, we like nice things, right? Nothing wrong with nice things. Nothing wrong with expensive things, right? Or is there, right? Am I right? Y'all don't like expensive things? Come on, I got Yeezys on today. I mean, come on, I like a little something. Some of y'all got some expensive stuff on too. Ain't nothing wrong with that. God's not mad at that, right? He just don't want expensive things to have you. He wants your heart, right? But sometimes we place a greater value only on things rather than the intangibles. Like, we'll drop money on some tennis shoes or on a handbag, but you won't buy a $25 book. $25 for a book? Nah, I'm good. But go to the Louis outlet, and they have your handbag that you want been looking at, and it's on sale for $400. I'm there. But you won't pay that $100 therapy bill? Carnal. That's what he's talking about right here. I'm almost done. Look what it says. He says in Romans, he says, for those who live according to the flesh and their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, they put their mind on the things of the Spirit. And then listen to this, because to be carnally minded, man, that's death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Think about that. For to be carnally minded is death. That means anxiety, worry, fear. You want to know why you have anxiety? Carnality. You want to know what you need? Life and peace, a spiritual mind. You know what helps you get that? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Again, it's not the end all be all. You still got to have the word. You still got to renew your mind. You still need fellowship. You still need accountability. But boy, is it a vital part. Let's keep reading. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, listen, it's an enmity against God, which means this. Your carnal mind is against God. You know what that means? Don't trust your own thinking. Well, you know, I know the Bible says that, but I feel it don't matter what you feel. Yeah, but you know, I just don't think I need to, you know, pray in tongues. I don't think it doesn't matter what you think. See, the carnal natural mind, the Bible says, goes against God. That's why you don't see the benefits in things like tithing, in coming to church every week, in praying in other tongues. You can't see the benefits. You want to know why? Because you're carnal. And until we get you to a state of spirituality that you can receive revelation, you're going to always be fighting God. Man, some of y'all, God has been trying to bless your socks off, and you won't let him. He's got stuff he's been holding on to. He's trying to get that wife to you. Oh, come on, somebody. He's trying to get that husband to you. But you keep messing it up. Because anytime he brings you to some instruction, you go, oh, I can't do that. I got to give. I got to serve. Oh, no, I ain't got time for that. Because your carnal mind won't let you obey God's word. So we got to get you out of that. And a big part of that is praying in the Spirit. Amen? Look at Romans 8, 13 through 14. It says this, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. He got real blatant right there. He got real South Sack on us right there. You want to live by the flesh? You're going to die. He got real hood. That's it. Just flat out. But then he says this, but if by the Spirit, listen, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Who gets a spiritual inheritance? Not servants, sons. And who are the sons? The ones that are spiritually minded. We got to embrace the things of the Spirit. Not run from them. Not be, oh, I don't understand all that. Study it. If you got questions, seek out truth. Amen. Hey, don't take my word for it. Read the Bible. Get after it. But don't just go, I don't want that. That's weird. Because that's childish. That's childish. That's like when you tried to give your son broccoli for the first time. Right? What did the little baby do? And you be doing that spiritually. I see you up here. I see you. Praying tongues. As soon as we close the service, you're going to run out the door. Just like a little child, you know, trying to feed him broccoli, he runs out the door. Don't be like that. Allow the Holy Spirit to teach you. Amen? You guys getting something out of this? The last couple ones here, number five. The fifth thing you got to do, for fifth reason we need to pray in the Holy Spirit is because it helps us pray the perfect will of God. Romans chapter 8, 26 through 27 says this, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For when we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." That's praying in other tongues. When I don't know what to pray for, I could just shika rabasata, broshteke, vrandede. Father, bless my wife, shanda rebebebebeaya, shika rababababa. Perfect will of God. You got scripture in verse 4. Why should you be praying? Because without this, without the prayer language, your prayers are short. Your prayers are limited. Father, bless my wife, help her. Help her to be nice. Help her not to get mad at me. Teach her. Get the devil out. No, I'm just joking. You know, you're limited. You're limited. You're limited. But man, you don't know all that she's going through. You pray in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Number six. Sixth reason you should pray in the Holy Spirit is because it's how we do battle in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 and 20. Watch this real quick before I let you go. It says this, how do we do battle? It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So we've learned all about the armor of God, right? The breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt buckle of truth, all that stuff, right? And then it says this, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we've been ready. We ready. We got all that. Yeah. But then it says this. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So it says, now that you got the armor of God on and you got the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, pray in the Holy Ghost. Because when you in there praying, shika rabasata, Father, I just break addiction off of my son. I break addiction off of my mom. Shika rabasata. That armor is coming alive. That sword is being swung. But you know what we do? We put the armor on and we walk around and we go to church. Hey, check out my shield. It's dope. Oh, it's like that. Hey, let me show you how much scripture I know. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gives them, yeah, I got my helmet of salvation. You like that? We do no battle. So we stay jacked up. I'm just reading the Bible to you. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer. That means in English, Spanish, whatever your language is, and supplication in the Spirit. You better start praying in tongues. Quit giving the devil your life. Last reason we need to do it, number seven. It refreshes and renews you. Oh, Pastor, I'm so stressed. I'm so tired. Lay on your bed and just pray in tongues. You'll fall asleep like that. Anybody here have a hard time falling asleep? Pastor, I can't sleep. I stay up all night. Just lay on your bed and pray in tongues. You'll fall asleep. You'll fall asleep. Why? It refreshes you and renews you. Let me show you that last scripture and I'm done. Whom he teaches knowledge, Isaiah 28, 9 through 12. Whom he will teach knowledge and whom he will make to understand this message. Those just weaned from the milk. Those just drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and an unknown tongue, God, he will speak to his people. And listen to this part. To whom he said, this is the rest with which you will be caused, that will cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing. And this is the sad part. Yet some would still not hear it. They wouldn't hear it. We deal with this today. Maybe some of you are here today. I just encourage you, don't be one of those that won't hear it. I'm giving you scripture after scripture because I don't want you to walk out of here thinking this is some ideology that I have. It's word of God. If you want to grow in God, go after it. But here's the last thing I'll leave you with is this. Why do people resist tongues? Because you actually think you know better than God. You are satisfied too at the level you're at. You think, I'm good. Man, that's a scary place to be. The Bible says this, pride comes before a fall. It comes before a fall. You know who are the people that are like, ooh, I want that? The hungry. The people that have been coming to church, but they're like, man, I know there has to be more. I know there's got to be more. I love church and I love worship and I love all this stuff, but there's got to be more. Those are the people that run to the altar and be like, I got to get this. You got to be hungry.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.